Father, we ask for your Spirit to be amongst us today. Touch each of us, and may we receive the blessing we have come seeking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, scripture reading. Testing, 1, 2, 3. All right, scripture reading is found in Romans 8. So everybody grab their Bibles real quick. And God's everlasting love is a kind of a head note to what we're going to read. And Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Number verses 38 and 39. And it reads, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to this word.
Hey, did you hear? The old preacher has come back to town. Everyone was talking about it. It's been several years since he had been here. The stories had been coming about what he'd been doing, but now he was here. Some were asking, "Do you think he will preach at church?" Others were thinking, "I wonder if the church board and the pastor will listen, or do you think they will cause trouble like the last time?" The whole town was abuzz with talk and speculation as to what might happen. When the Sabbath came, the church was full. Fuller than it had been in a long time. The old preacher stood up and started. He told about the places he had been. He told about the people he had talked to and the many friends he had made. He told about the churches that were left in the towns where he had been. Then he started to tell his story about how he had met Jesus and how this meeting had changed his life. As he continued on, the church board began to get a little irritated, and the pastor was getting a little hot under the collar. When he got to the part where he began to accuse them of killing Jesus of Nazareth, they just couldn't take it anymore. They started to shout at the preacher and call him a blasphemer. The crowd became restless and noisy. Soon there was a riot going on. The local temple police came and surrounded the preacher and started to take him away. They finally got him up some stairs and into a room. They called the county commissioner and asked him what to do. He suggested that they take him to the county jail for his safety and that they would take up the matter the first thing Monday morning. Early Monday morning, the church leaders came to the commissioner's office and demanded that the preacher be turned over to them for trial and be executed. That, said the commissioner, was not going to happen. "However," he said, "if you wish to prefer charges against the preacher, you can go with me to the county seat and do it in front of the county court." Hoping that the church leaders would not find it convenient to go to the county seat, he could just let the preacher go. But before they left for the county seat, it was brought to the attention of the commissioner that there was a plot to ambush the group on the way and kill the preacher. So the preacher was escorted by a large number of policemen to protect him. When the county court session was to start, the church leaders showed up and put forth their case. The preacher was allowed to defend himself. After an inspiring defense, the court decided that this was strictly a religious matter and the court really had no jurisdiction on the matter. However, the church leaders were very politically connected, and the administrator decided to leave the preacher in jail as a favor to the church leaders. 2 years later, election time came, and the county administrator was replaced. The new county head decided to hear the old preacher and try to eliminate the case that he inherited from the previous administration. So the preacher was brought before him, and he heard the complaint and allowed the preacher to defend himself. Finding nothing to warrant keeping the preacher in jail, he decided to whip the preacher and let him go. But the preacher said, "I am a citizen of this country, and you cannot do this. I want to appeal my case to the president of the country." This stopped the proceedings right away. County administrator said, "Since you have appealed to the president, you will go." So the preacher was put back in jail, but the commissioner told the guards to let his friends visit whenever they wanted and to bring food and whatever else he needed. Sometime later, the governor of the territory came for a visit, and the commissioner asked the governor to hear the case, as he was familiar with the religious group and their beliefs. Maybe he could help the commissioner write the necessary paperwork to send to the president. The governor said that would be fine. So a date was set, and the old preacher was brought in. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts, the 26th chapter. Before we read this, let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we read the most inspiring defense in the Bible, we ask that you will guide our thoughts. Understand what the preacher said, and become totally yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading in Acts 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet.' I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. This is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and the Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. They left the room. And while talking with one another, they said, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or in prison." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." One of my favorite writers says this: "Deeply affected, Agrippa for the moment lost sight of his surroundings and the dignity of his position. Conscious only of the truths which he had heard, seeing only the humble prisoner standing before him as God's ambassador, he answered involuntarily, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" Though Agrippa was a Jew, he did not share the bigoted zeal and blind prejudice of the Pharisees. In his commentary in the last few verses of chapter 26, William Barclay says this: "It is not so much what is actually said in this passage which is interesting as the atmosphere which the reader can feel behind it. Paul was a prisoner. At that very moment, he was wearing fetters, as he himself makes clear. Yet the impression given unmistakably is that he is the dominating personality in the scene. Festus does not speak to him as a criminal. No doubt he knew Paul's record as a trained rabbi. No doubt he had seen Paul's room scattered with the scrolls and parchments which were the earliest Christian books. Agrippa, listening to Paul, is more on trial than Paul is. Paul has in him a power which raises him head and shoulders above all others in any company. The word used for the power of God in Greek is dunamis. It is a word, it is the word from which dynamite comes from. The man who has the risen Christ at his side need fear no one. Some sitting in this room today will be put in the same position as Paul. This old earth is coming to an end a lot quicker than a lot of us realize. When that time comes, will you or I be able to give a defense for our faith like Paul? Or are we still almost persuaded to be a complete and total Christian? Or are some of us still playing church, thinking we are okay while we are still holding on to something we need to get rid of? If there is something that needs to go, you need to confess it and ask God to get rid of it from you. A man by the name of Denny used to say that the great function of Christianity was, in the last analysis, to make bad men good. The great Christians have never been afraid to point to themselves as living examples of the power of Christ. How about you? It is true that a man can never change himself, but it is also gloriously true that what he cannot do, Christ Jesus can do for him. In this passage, Paul insists that the center of his whole message is the resurrection. His witness is not of someone who has lived and died, but of one who is gloriously present and alive evermore. It is my desire to be able to give an account of myself when I am asked to do so. How about you? Father, we would truly want to go home. Help us to get rid of anything that will keep us from doing that. Be with us as we go our separate ways. Keep us in the palm of your hand. And may we see each other again soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.